Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, as the case may be. Today is Saturday, September 11th, 2021. What a terrible, terrible day in our history. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thank you for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius and my partner Jim Knox, and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, icdcalls.com, and YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Start 6 to raise your hand. And we will not be taking any questions about the exchange or what to do or what do we expect, because we don't know. You probably know as much as we do. We have all heard about various ways and methods to protect our assets. There are corporations, LLCs, revocable living trusts, and irrevocable trusts. They are all viable. Some are better suited than others, depending on the situation. A common law contract business trust is a non-statutory, unincorporated business organization created by a legal document known as a declaration of trust. It is a unique agency of commerce that offers numerous advantages in the areas of estate preservation and asset protection. It is recognized by the IRS as a UBO. It is important to explain the different names by which a common law contract trust is recognized. And this is a quote from Schumann Hank versus Folsom. When the express written trust is used in an agency of commerce, it is commonly known as a business trust. Because of its development and common use in the state of Massachusetts, it is often called the Massachusetts Trust. And because it finds its basis in law of contract and does not depend on any statute for its existence, it is sometimes called a common law trust. We, meaning Jim and I mostly, have found that calling it a business trust might raise red flags at your bank. If they think or assume it is a business, they may ask for your business registration number with the state, etc., etc. As a common law contract trust whose sole business is asset protection, it is not necessary to register or file with your state. However, your state may require you to register your common law contract business trust if it is actively operating as a business. Because this name is so long and so wordy, we prefer just to call it a contract trust. It derives power, privilege, and benefit not only from the common law, but from the laws of contract, which are guaranteed to us all under Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, which guarantees our right to contract and our right to enter into a contract. An important aspect of the common law contract trust is that it is recognized in any country that observes common law. In the United States, we call them common law contract trusts, even though they are not really trusts, but contracts in trust format. To further illustrate this point about the right to enter into contracts, I would like to share the following quote, which is extracted from a Supreme Court ruling. Liberty, as guaranteed in the due process of the 5th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution, has been held to denote not merely freedom from bodily restraint, but also the right of the individual to contract, to engage in any of the common occupations of life, to acquire useful information, to marry, establish a home, and bring up children, to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, and generally enjoy those privileges long recognized at common law as being essential to the orderly pursuit of happiness by free men. That was the United States Supreme Court, 47L, ED 2nd at 983, if you care to look it up. Case law and common law trust goes back hundreds of years. The first major decision was Smith v. Anderson, Chancery Division 247 in 1780 in England. That decision upheld the validity of common law trust. This decision stands today and has not been modified by the court. This means that so long as the Constitution guarantees our right to contract, the common law contract trust will remain valid. And people have asked me, well, we might be entering into common law. Are our trusts still valid? Okay, guys, it is already common law. So our trust, we will be way ahead of the game when that occurs because we are already common law. One of the biggest advantages of the contract trust is that you can be the trustee. Thus, there is nobody between you and your money. Some trusts specifically state you may not be the trustee of your own trust. There are numerous court decisions on the issue of the investor exchanges being the same person. The following is another Supreme Court decision that addresses this issue directly. The legal title, possession, and control of property made by declaration of trust be passed irrevocably from the grantor, investor, to himself as trustee with the same effect as if the trustee receiving the conveyance had been another person. I could read off the quote, you probably don't need it. It's on our website. The contract trust is irrevocable. An irrevocable trust is one which cannot be changed and amended after its creation. Once the assets go into the irrevocable trust, they belong to the trust and are no longer the property of the former owner. A properly crafted irrevocable contract trust provides the best possible asset protection to creditors if you no longer own those assets. The assets in irrevocable trust are not considered part of one's estate at death, thus not open to probate, estate, or inheritance taxes. And Jim will be talking a little more about irrevocable trust a little bit later. The contract trust is formed by the writing of a trust indenture. The indenture specifies all of the main parameters of the contract trust. In that document, the powers of the trustees are specified, the trust certificates are issued, the trustees are named, and generally all items are addressed that are reasonably necessary to start a business. Upon the completion of the writing of the trust indenture, it is signed and the contract trust is a legal operating entity. The trust is a contract. Since one cannot contract with oneself, we use a disinterested third party called the curator. The curator initiates the trust and offers to exchange the property of the investor, issues the trust certificates, and appoints the first trustee, typically the original investor. The trust certificates have no value, and since ascertainable value. The trust certificates have no value, and since the assets are transferred to the contract trust by exchange, there is no tax consequence. After these tasks are complete, the curator has no further duties or rights to the contract trust. This part is all complete when we send you your personalized trust. Once the first trustee has been appointed, the curator's job is finished, and he or she has no further authority, responsibility, or liability to the trust organization. The first trustee may then appoint a second trustee. They, in turn, may appoint a third trustee. The trust can operate with only one trustee, but may have more. We do not suggest more than three, as too many bosses must not be able to make a unanimous decision. You must name at least one successor trustee. The trustees must unanimously agree on all actions of the trust, and we provide an executive trustee minute that allows one trustee to act for and on behalf of the others. Jim, you want to take this for a few minutes? I guess
yeah, I'm sorry.
All
right, sure. So we're at most trusts are created in contemplation of death, as opposed to the contract trust, which is created in contemplation of life. The trust has a limited life of 25 years and is renewable every 25 years. You will die, but the trust will not. In the event of a trustee's death or incapacity, the successor trustee assumes his or her duties immediately. There is no waiting, no filing, or court approval necessary. Your trust certificates become null and void and must be reissued by the remaining or successor trustee. The trustees may, at their discretion, elect from among their number a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, and or any other officers deemed expedient. Any trustee may hold two or more offices simultaneously, their duties being those such as customary or as prescribed by the Board of Trustees. They may employ agents, executives, and other employees or designate third persons to perform services or to hold funds for special purposes. The trustees may fix and pay reasonable compensation for any or all officers, employees, or agents in their discretion, and may pay themselves reasonable compensation for their services as trustees. The trust can do anything a legal adult person can do, including investing, operating a business, lending money, etc. It is important to remember that all business transactions, including buying and selling of property, stocks, bonds, securities and other investments, insurance, furniture, appliances, computers, electronics, equipment, etc., is to be agreed and to be voted upon by the Board of Trustees. Any and all investments, purchases, etc., should be done in the name of the trust. As with any legal entity, you will need to write a minute or document to the trust activities. All trustees must sign the minutes. If the trust transacted no business in a calendar year, you should write an end-of-year minute documenting that. These samples, by the way, folks, are on our website. We like to think of this first trust as your motherlode trust. This trust functions much like the trunk of a tree with deep roots, and therefore the motherlode trust should be the most secure and private account that you set up. Never purchase anything from this account. So you may ask, how do I function? That's where the management trust comes in. It will receive funds from your motherlode trust so it can function as your purchasing or lending arm, much like a escrow company. Hypothetically, it functions much like the branches of the tree. It has more exposure and is easier to break or penetrate, but it is an account that connects to some levels of the outside world. The management trust simplifies some of the issues associated with multiple projects and properties. You should place adequate funds in this account to easily cover your prospective purchases and to cover several outgoing expenses for easier manageability. View your management trust as the entity that can manage money to purchase large ticket items like vehicles, land, and homes, and to disperse funds into other areas of your trust structure. It will fund other accounts such as charitable trusts, real estate trusts, vehicle trusts, home maintenance trusts, and other trusts, as well as your personal checking account for daily and personal expenses as the trustee. Imagine three different real estate trusts, each owning its own property. One may be your primary residence, one may be a vacation home, and one may be an apartment building. They all require attention. It may be at maintenance, insurance, property taxes, collecting rent, etc. In this scenario, each real estate trust would have its own bank account to pay for these expenses and a repository for their rental income. It could prove to be a headache. We have a solution and a way to simplify these issues. It's called a management trust. The management trust would be less complicated and convoluted way to handle these issues. Easy words. A properly funded and prepared management trust can simply issue by contracting with the individual real estate trust to control the funds, disperse the funds, collect the funds, much like an escrow account. It is responsible for all of the issues related to the property ownership. You will have one bank account with bank cards and checks to be issued and used when appropriate. It can also be managed online. Banking and accounting will be less of a hassle. This trust, like most of your other trusts, will be funded by your motherlode trust. There's a series of contracts that we've come up with to do that, and they'll be on the website shortly. The same principle applies to the multiple vehicle trusts. Let's face it, cars do not require bank accounts or EINs, but they do require management, insurance, license, tabs, inspection, maintenance, tires, oil, gasoline, etc. A management trust could provide the individual vehicle trust, A management trust would contract with the individual vehicle trust to handle those chores from one bank account. The management trust is priced same as our secondary trust, but until September 30th or until the RV, whichever occurs first, we are offering a special discount price is now $1,395. So that's what we have set up for today's call. Carol, you want to add some more stuff to this?
Oh, well, yeah, the best way, going through all this, many of you have listened to us, thankfully, for years, But really, the best way to protect and preserve your assets is to give them up while retaining all of the control. This concept of non-ownership is sometimes a little difficult to comprehend, but think about it. Why own the assets when someone else can own them for you? That's someone else's a contract business trust organization. This is a legal entity or person created from common law. Contract business trusts have withstood the test of time in the courtroom. They are approved by the IRS and have been used for generations by many of the wealthiest families in the U.S. to preserve their fortunes. In a nutshell, this is the most powerful asset in estate preservation method known. So, Jim, I know you have some comments. I mean, you're going to talk about a little more benefit trust, are you not?
Well, I was going to talk about, how this thing is set up. And I've gotten many calls lately about, well, I'm changing my successor. You need to send me a new sheet for the trust. No, folks, that's not how this works. Once the trust is issued, once you have the trust, once you've activated the trust, anything you're going to change, you've got to do with a minute. We don't change the documents. We don't change the trust. You add to the trust with a minute stating what you did. Well, Joe was going to be successor trustee, and he decided he didn't want to do it, so Bob's going to be the successor trustee. So you write a minute. That's what you do. The board of trustees convened a meeting and decided to change the successor trustee from Bob to Joe, and then you put the date, the time, you sign it with the right minute number. Most people come with either the last minute that we've supplied, either minute 6 or minute 7, depending on how it's set up, how many trustees. And you do these modifications to the trust by minutes. You don't change the document. It's irrevocable. It's already been signed. It's already been notarized. Your signature has already been notarized. You can't change the document. You add to the document or take from the document through using minutes. That's one of the biggest things that we've been having problems with. People don't understand that it's simple to change things. But they call us and say, well, I want to do this, so you need to, modify this and send me this other page. And you can't do that.
Jim, I might add that I've also gotten a similar question about maybe a spouse or co-trustee has passed away. And, well, what do I do? Do I just scratch them off the trust? Well, no, you recognize that this person passed away, and whether or not a successor trustee is going to take over at that point, and that you have voided that person's certificate and reissued them. We do have sample minutes for all of these things, folks.
Yes. And not only that, when a trustee does pass on, I highly recommend getting a copy of the death certificate and adding to the trust to show that that did happen and you did reissue the certificates. Because when the certificates of beneficial interest, they become null and void upon the demise of the trustee. And then they go to the successor trustees. That has to be decided by the existing trustees how that's going to be done. But you need to have that minute in there, and you need to make sure that there's something evidencing the passing of the trustee. So that's kind of the things that we've been having an issue with a lot of people lately, is not understanding that if you want to change the trust, you do it through the minutes. You don't change the trust documentation. You really can't do it. You can physically do it, but you're not supposed to.
It's irrevocable. It's irrevocable means you cannot change the trust.
Exactly.
If you're going to do anything, you do it through a minute.
Yep. And it's not hard. I mean, remember, this document is private. You just have to have a paragraph or two and sign it, date it, put the minute number on there. And it's really just for the successor trustees to know what you did. They have to know the history of all your actions. And that's what the minutes do. They give you a history of every action that the trustees have done with that trust. So in 30 years from now, which is 5 years after you renew the trust, the trustees can go through the book and see all the minutes and see the history of the trust and know what you've done so they know what to do next. So it's kind of like a history book. You're actually writing a history book. But it's very, very simple. Just a paragraph or two, sign it, put it in there, date it. You don't have to have them notarized. No. So it's I've got a trust right now that it's on its second life. I got one that's probably 10 years away from being on its third life. So I've extended it by just simply writing a minute, saying the Board of Trustees got together, and me, myself, and I, which is the Board of Trustees, decided to extend it for another 25 years. So, you know, that's pretty much how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only 20 minutes into this thing. So do we have any questions coming up?
We do. We have McKinley.
Bring him on.
Hey, McKinley, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
I'm going to buy a home, but it won't probably be until next year. But I need a car, okay? And I don't want to buy a car. I want to lease a car. So how do I go about leasing? I know I got to have some things put in place, like the automobile trust and all that. But how do I go about leasing a car? And I don't have a president in place. I mean, just, Jim, how would you lease a car in my situation?
Well, first off, you have to do it one of two ways. One, either in the trust name, and if the trust doesn't have any credit, you're going to have to be the guarantor. So since the trust is new, it doesn't have any credit, you're going to have to be the guarantor of the lease. And so you go to the leasing agency, say, I want to lease this car. I want to put it in an irrevocable trust, but I'm going to stand good as the trustee for the debt until such time as the trust has created enough credit history to where it can take over all of the obligations.
Okay.
So that's one of the things. It's like any small new business. You're going to have to stand behind it.
Okay.
That's how you're going to have to do it. And it's very simple. And then you just write a minute in the trust saying that the Board of Trustees at a meeting decided to lease a car, and because the trust is new, we understand that we're going to have to, you know, stand good for the debt personally, and we're going to guarantee the debt. But you're going to put it in the trust name, just like I did on my little pickup here the other day. I had to retitle my pickup, so I put it in a trust name. And, of course, I have no debt on the pickup, so I didn't have to guarantee anything. But I just put it in the trust name. And in the trust, I just put a note that, you know, the Board of Trustees decided to purchase a 2002 Ford Ranger, whatever the heck it is. And then I took the money out of the account and paid for it.
Okay.
That's how simple it is.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Hey, there's nobody out there with any questions right now, Jim.
Well, son of a gun, I guess we have to talk about something. Maybe the weather.
Yeah, well, I thought you wanted to talk a little more about management trust, and you think we covered that well enough.
Yeah, no, let's go ahead and talk about the management trust. But I wanted to point out what my biggest issue was. You can't change the trust. So let's talk about the management trust, because that's the coolest idea we've come up with. Because what that does, it eliminates a lot of the redundancy in doing minutes. So, yes, every time you do a change on the house, you have to have a minute. They're saying the real estate trust bought this and did this, and that's a minute that goes in the real estate trust. But then the management trust will be writing the checks and getting all that stuff, and that's pretty self-evident. All you have to do is have a simple minute saying that you're going to be the management trust for a real estate trust, and all of the documentation will be stored with the real estate trust, except for the financial information, which should be stored here in the management trust. So it's not duplicating all your paperwork. You're just delegating different paperwork to two different trusts. So when the Motherlode Trust decides, as a trustee of the Motherlode Trust, you decide you want to buy a house, you will then be the Motherlode Trust will be the investor into another trust, which would be the real estate trust. And then the real estate trust would then contract to the management trust. So in essence, the money that you're going to put into the real estate trust never touches the real estate trust. It's actually by contract and agreement is delivered to and put into an account in the management trust for the real estate trust to go buy the house, maintain the house, pay the utilities, and pay the taxes, and so on and so forth. So you do not need an EI number for the real estate trust because you already got one for the management trust. So that bank account can be one bank account, or if you decide you want to do it, you can have multiple bank accounts. I don't know why you'd do that, but you could do that. And that's how this thing works. The same with an automobile. So your mother lode trust would then be the investor into the automobile trust. And then the contract would be drawn up between the automobile trust and the management company, and a copy sent to or handed to the trustees of the mother lode trust, which is all the same person, obviously. And that the money then is actually delivered to the management trust in lieu of going to the automobile trust because it does not have an EI number, therefore cannot have a bank account. So you have one bank account, and you just have to, you know, like I've got checks that I get placed where I can make a note on the check what it's for. And that's all I do. Now, of course, I don't do very many checks. I think I've done 5 or 6 checks in a year. Everything's done by debit card and by transfer through the Internet. So I just have to keep track of that with a minute. It's really simple.
Yeah, even when you do a transfer from your bank on the Internet, you're in most cases you're able to write down exactly what it was for. Your bank, they come up with transfer or, you know, some kind of payment, but you can still amend it and say what it's to or what it's for.
Yep.
Keeps your bookkeeping a lot easier that way.
And if you use an accounting software like Quicken or something like that for your management trust, there's a lot of places to make annotations in there. So
yeah.
I highly recommend figuring out what you want to use for a program. I just use Excel spreadsheet. I like that better for me. And I just have everything I do. I just transfer from right directly from my account at Wells Fargo. I just copy, paste right into my spreadsheet as I do each transaction, and I can add more notes to it. And then I have that digital in the file for all of my trusts. And then, of course, I do print out. I think I print out about every quarter. I print out the whole thing, and so I've got a binder with all that stuff in it.
Well, Jim, thank you for bringing up Quicken or QuickBooks, and most of us don't need it now.
No.
Most of us are still just running our normal everyday lives as we always have, but when we start with these multiple trusts and a lot of money, we're going to need a little better way to handle our accounts on our own. We more than likely will be working with accountants and bookkeepers and this person and that person. But for your own personal records, using a program like Quicken or QuickBooks is going to make your life a lot easier. Quicken is a lot easier to use than QuickBooks. QuickBooks is really designed for professionals, but Quicken is really easy to use and easy to learn. So, good thing to think about that.
I've got both of them, and I don't use either one because it just takes – there's too much of a learning curve for me at the time. And I was very proficient with my little spreadsheet, so I just continued doing that. But
yeah.
It's whatever people want to use.
Exactly.
And you probably will have somebody working for you through your wealth management team. They'll take care of most of that for you anyway. You're not going to be wanting to run all this stuff. You know, if you've got the kind of money that most of you are going to have, you're not going to want to sit around and do this stuff. You want to delegate and have fun.
Delegate, and sit them, you know, to take a little vacation to start. I think we're all going to take a little vacation to start with. Clear our heads, that's for sure. So I don't see any more questions. Oh, there's a couple. Okay. Raul, how are you today?
Hello, Carol and Jim.
Hi.
This is Raul.
Nice to
and all the thing that Jim just talked about and you talked about, with respect to the financial planners and the accountants and so on and so forth, will they have a knowledge of what you guys just talked about? I mean, there's going to be minute writing that they don't write, but we write the minute, but they might help us write the language for the minute.
That's going to be mostly done through us. I mean, our website. You'll go there and get all
the templates.
You get those and you pass them over to them and say, okay, fill this out. Here's a template I need you to use for that minute. And you're going to have to, you know, I don't know how much knowledge you're going to have of this. You're going to probably have to do a little coaching initially. But once they see how the format is set up, there'll be no problem. And you'll do most of that stuff once a month. It'll take you maybe 30 minutes a month to do it. You'll get a report from them about all the things that you spent money on and by category or by trust, however you want to set it up. And then you'll need to You can delegate this out. You can have them run your whole trust. I don't recommend it. I think it's a private document. I keep it private. I figure that's just part of my job, is to spend the half hour or hour a month keeping all the minutes current and keeping a copy of the book records. And I keep most of mine digital now. I don't keep written copies.
Mm-hmm. So the minutes will correlate to what the financial planners have set up for us, pretty much.
Yeah, they're going to be setting up things that we don't know how to do. The paperwork, we know how to do the paperwork. They don't know the trust business. So you'll have to rely on looking at our website to get those minutes, those templates, those ideas.
Okay.
Not a lot of
paperwork. Thank you.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Gracias.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Scott, how are you today?
Hi. Hi. It's Donna. My question is, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Okay, let me just change from the earbuds. Hold on one second. Yeah, come on. I don't know how to do that. You're having trouble hearing me, so
No, hold on one second.
It's better? Oh, good. Yeah. All right. I was a trustee for my mom in a family trust that was, the regular through the, it wasn't a common law trust. And when she passed away, I had some dinar that I bought for her through that, and some of that went to my siblings. Now, my siblings would rather me, because they don't know what to do with dinar, to exchange it for them with mine. If I were to do that, how would I best distribute their shares, which isn't, it's not a lot, but would it be better for me to get to buy something for them in their own trust through the mother's load and through the management trust, or just give them, would I be allowed to give them a distribution in the amount of theirs when I make the exchange? You get where I'm going?
I get exactly where you're going, because I'm in the same situation. I have gifted my brother and sister-in-law some currency, and they are not going to be able just to walk in and exchange it themselves, because they really don't know that much about it. So I have formed a trust for them and myself. I make myself part of their trust. So when I exchange, X amount of dollars will go to that trust because it belongs to that trust. And at some point, I will resign as trustee of their trust.
Oh, all right.
Really not difficult. But you really need to create a separate trust just for them.
Okay, but each one a separate trust, not the three of them a trust. Or they could share the trust.
Correct, yes. Each sibling a separate trust. And you need to be a trustee at all of them if you're going to exchange for them.
Okay. I'm going to have to call you at some point and find out how much it would cost me to do that for them. And I'll just open them up, I suppose.
Okay.
Can
would
I
you
do that after
you?
I'm sorry?
No, I thought you were finished. You go ahead.
No, I forgot what I was going to say, so go ahead.
I asked Jim if he concurred, because I know he is holding currency for some people as well. Is that what your plan is as well?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to have my mother load trust create, be the investor in their trust, and I'll be the trustee with them. And then I'll have certificates of beneficial interest from their trust to my trust until I'm sure that they know what they're doing. Then I'll gift them the certificates. And I'll remove myself from the trust.
Okay, that's great. Oh, that's great. And this can be done after we do the exchange? Or does it have to be set up now?
Well,
yeah, that's a good one.
That's a conundrum.
You won't be exchanging currency.
Yeah. Right. See, that's a conundrum in a roundabout way. But if you take all the currency and exchange it into the motherload trust, you then, after the RV, the day or two or four or five or ten or whatever, after the RV, you then set up the other trusts. Your trust, your mother load trust, would be the investor in those other trusts. So it can be done before or after. And the exchange would be, you're going to place X amount of dinar in the trust And because you, your mother-in-law trust created, they would take the certificates of beneficial interest and then hold those for collateral. And then once your exchange is all done, then you can work out a deal to where the certificates are finally disposed of properly to the right people and walk away from the system. And you're free and clear.
Yeah.
And
okay, well,
you know,
I'm glad this is recorded because I have to listen to this again.
Yeah. It's a simple process. Okay, so, it just sounds complicated.
Yeah, it does. But, yeah, I just have to get out of my own way. And I'm going to look into how much. Do they have to each get, would their trust be discounted from my initial trust and I'm buying it for them, or do they each have to have an initial, like, trust?
No,
you know,
we'll give you the discount. We'll give you the discount.
Yay! Thank you. Okay. The other thing I had to ask, I did write while I was listening because I didn't hear the beginning of the sentence, but do you have a separate EIN for the management trust different from the motherlode trust? You need two EINs at that point?
Yes. Yes, you have to have separate EI numbers for each trust that's going to have a bank account.
Good. Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you for answering my question. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Okay.
Gary. Hey, there, Gary.
Yes. Hey, Jim and Carol. This is Gary in Phoenix. Question regarding the management trust. If we have, let's say, X number of dollars in the management trust, and we find that we need more money, can the management trust be reloaded as we go along?
It can, but you have to do it in a specific way, specific methods. That's something that we're going to write quite a bit on that particular thing. We're doing some more research on that, but yes, you can do it. There's a specific way to do it, though, and I'd rather not go into too much detail here because it would be very confusing. So we're going to put this all together in a nice document, and it will be on the website. We're bringing a guy, trying to get a hold of Robert in the next day or so. I got a guy who's coming on board to help us run the website because I am just swamped. And we're going to try and get him started here this next week, and he's going to add the content. He knows how to work WordPress. He's all, you know, vetted. He knows what he's doing. And most of you don't know, I'm in the middle of a project, a huge project myself right now, a personal project. I'm rebuilding one of my classics, and I've got yanked the engine out yesterday and so on and so forth. I'm trying to get it done so I can drive it to Florida at the end of the month so I can move to Florida. So I've had a little bit of a time crunch. I've been enjoying the heck out of doing it, by the way, but I've had a bit of a time crunch to get some of the stuff done. But, yes, we can work that out and explain to you exactly how to do that. We'll have the documentation for that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keith, you're up. Keith?
Hello, hey, it's Keith Earle. It's been a while.
Hey, Doc.
Yes,
how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well. How are both you and Carol's doing? Hopefully you guys are well. Typically I pass on your YouTube link to around 30 other individuals. So sometimes I have to ask some very simple questions that will help many individuals. The first one is that, I'm sorry, I joined you late, so maybe you've covered this regarding a management trust, but if an individual has multiple real estate trusts and or vehicle trusts, will each one require its separate management trust, or can one management trust manage the various vehicle and real estate trusts?
Well, one management trust can do it all. It's just one company. It's like having one accountant. You have an accountant for all of your financial stuff, not a dozen accountants in different stores, in different places. You just one accountant. So it's one management trust. You just simply have to title it properly, and then I shouldn't say it that way. You have to label everything properly when you're doing it so you know what went where. And that's why I like my Excel spreadsheet, or some people like Quicken or QuickBooks. You can see exactly what amount of money went to here and there, and you can do an end of the month total and all that stuff. But one management can do everything you want to do.
Yeah, and that was my answer. I just needed
to talk to
you. So thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to sell you 10 management companies, but it's not necessary.
Better redundant.
No, I guess. Yeah, great. Secondly, regarding the common law trust, do you have any recommended workshops or training seminars you know of? You know, I mean, what you have is very good, and I get it, but like I said, some individuals who I interact with, it's all foreign to them, and I know if someone can go maybe sit down in a course or take something online, it will be very beneficial. So, you know, looking for your feedback on that.
Well, we haven't found anybody doing that yet. Maybe we should do something like that. I'm writing some notes here about that. That's an excellent idea. We do have quite a bit of information. We're going to try and start doing some video work. And what I bought the software. We want to do some between 3 and 5 minute little videos, little intro, little exit, and all the meat and potatoes inside. It's just be really quick, down and dirty, talking about specific like this, you know, the management trust. It's a 3 minute video. So we plan on doing that. And that's one of the things I've bought the software. I just haven't had the time to do everything. I've bit off more than I can chew by trying to get this project done to get out to Florida. So that's why we're delegating some stuff out.
Yeah, that will be very helpful. FYI, there are some others post-RV. They're looking to do that same thing. But, you know, I wanted to, since I'm working with you too, I wanted to bring it to the table that, you know, it will be highly beneficial to offer many workshops or even, like you said, something, you know, online on training. And an individual can go to from time to time. Because, again, this is going to be foreign to a lot of people, as you know. You know, common law trust has been around for a while, but, again, it's from Mars to most.
I know. The sad thing about that, Keith, is the trusts are older than in this country. You know?
Correct.
So it predates the United States, and yet nobody really understands them or knows them. And that was how everything was done initially, was through trust. It was not done through what we have now. So, you know, when you got the legal beagles involved in this thing, they bastardized the whole system, and they went to this foreign entity called the United States of America.
Right.
Instead of
America. Right.
And so it's a shame that it's backwards, but it's definitely backwards. And yeah, we're going to try and help change that.
Wonderful.
And one thing I'd like to suggest, on our website, we have some books and shields. If you pay particular attention to book 4, it's called How to Operate. And it's very, very basic, but it will give you an idea of what to do, how to write minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And I think everybody should go back and read book 4 from time to time.
Sounds good. Appreciate that, Carol. All right, well, that's it, and you two and everyone else, enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any more questions at the moment, but, you know, book 4, as I just mentioned, was written, oh, my God, almost 30 years ago, but the premise still holds. It's how to operate and what you should do in this case, what you should do in that case, and why you're doing it. It's very, very basic. Like I said, it's very easy to understand. It even goes through the whole creation of the trust from the moment of the exchange until you become the first trustee. And that's all so basic, it's in stick figures. My husband and I had that done, obviously, a long, long time ago. But there's some interesting things in there. Books 1 through 3 are more promotional than anything else. But book 4 has really got some meat on it, so you might be interested in taking a look at that.
Okay, to find that, I'm on the website right now. When you log in, just go to list of documents. So it says home, blog, Y Trust, trust operation, list of documents. When you mouse over the list of documents, it'll come up with what is a contract business trust, certificate units, contracts and agreements, and go all the way down to the bottom, you'll see III Shields and III Books, which is Indicator Information Institute. So just look down there and you'll see the books. You click on that, and then you go and you pick the book you want. So they're all right there on the website.
And the Shields are primarily promotional also. But, you know, if you're talking to somebody and they want a little more information, download one of the Shields and give it to them.
Yep.
So.
So the
you can.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I would say I was going to remind people that these are PDFs. Okay. So if you don't know anything about a PDF, or you don't have the software on your computer or your phone or your iPad or whatever it may be, you may not be able to see them. So just keep that in mind. And it's nothing really to download. It's a setting in your computer you have to set. And but they pop right up. I'm looking at it right now. It's 25 pages long. It's just a plethora of good knowledge here about what you're looking for. So they're here. They're there. They just got to find them and read them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
anybody else have a question today?
Well, they don't. I got a couple comments.
Okay.
We did add in August, and it just popped it back up, the Clean and Clear Certificate Funds. We do have that letter on there, that information. If you go to the new tab, it just says new, an asterisk on both sides of the word new. You'll see August, new information is Clean and Clear Certificate of Funds, proving no criminal or illegal activity. It's in there now and all set up. And I just moved it into the new file. I put it on the thing, but I forgot to put it in the new file. So I did that this morning. So that's there. I know people have been asking for it. There it is. And we've got some other stuff that we're going to be adding. I think Tuesday or Wednesday, I've got a call coming in that I've got to take care of, and I think there'll be some information coming from that that'll add to this.
Good.
And, yeah. So that's all I've got right now. It's 10:46 where I'm at.
One of the things we've all heard a lot about is an NDA, that we will more than likely have to sign one, even though I said we weren't going to talk about the exchange. We're not. Other than we will probably have to sign an NDA. We have an NDA also on our website. So when you find yourself in a situation where you have to talk about the trust, because it is a private document, there is an NDA for whomever you're speaking with that they should sign as well.
Yep.
Because it is your own private document. Even, you know, if a bank insists they see the trust, they just still don't need to see your minutes. And they can see the trust, but they do not need to see your minutes because they are private to your particular operation. So the NDA will be helpful for you. And I know Jim has all kinds of stuff on there that, you know, we may need once, but if you need it once, then you need to have it. You know, my husband used to tell me that about tools. I may only need it one time, but if I need it, I need it.
Sure. Yeah, I just bought some tools because I needed them yesterday. Yeah. So I'm looking for that. There's a lot of stuff on here, and that's one thing I'm going to get Robert to do is kind of reorganize this thing because he's very good at this stuff. And frankly, I've got to be very blunt about it. I've lost interest in keeping up with this stuff. I'm so busy on other things. This used to be my passion, but it's not anymore. And I just get tired of sitting on my butt in front of a computer all day. Other things.
Come on, such a slacker.
I know, I'm such a slacker. I just did the backup today on this, by the way. It was 3,900 files. That's how big this website is.
Wow.
I know. I did a backup, and then the reason I did the backup this morning is because the latest version of WordPress came out, 5.8.1, so I upgraded it or updated it to that. And I always do a backup of the whole website before I do that in case it doesn't work right.
Just in case.
That's how I know we've got almost 4,000 files.
Goodness. Goodness.
I know. And then, the other thing I've done, when you go to any page, folks, on the website, on the right-hand side, it says, find what you need. All those little gray words, they're actually hyperlinks. They don't look like it, but when I had them looking like a hyperlink, it made it too busy. But they're hyperlinks. So it says, find what you need, go down here. So let's say that you're looking at a trust for estate planning. Well, that's a document. So you click on it there on the right-hand side. It takes you right there. It leaves you, it keeps you on the same page, but changes it, and now you can see what a trust for estate planning is all about. So on every page, there on the right-hand side, there's a list of virtually everything that's major in the website. So you don't have to leave the page. So if you go to a page and you're reading something like I trust for estate planning, now you'll want to read something about proof of archiving. It's just a hyperlink. It takes you right to proof of archiving, and then you click on that, and that is the book of that. There's quite a page there on that stuff. And you can actually download it.
Very helpful.
Yeah, so the proof of archiving is just a download link. You just download it. So you have the basic trust operations, everything you need to know there. There's a disclaimer. What is the business trust? All that's there. It's everything is now on each page. You don't have to go roaming around for them. I put them all on every page.
That will be helpful. Anyway, we do have a question here.
Sure.
Raul, you are back.
Yes, I am. Hey, Jim, you broke up when you were talking about something about in the new tab with quotes. You mentioned something about a certificate or something like that. Do you recall what you said? Because you were breaking up for me when you were saying something like that. I don't know what it was.
Clean and clear?
Something like that. It had to do with some certificates about your money's not criminal or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear
called
you?
It's called the clean and clear. And I've got it right here. Let me pull it up. Let me pull it back up, the list of documents. I got it here someplace. I just loaded it, so I know it's here. List of documents. There it is. So you go to list of documents. And,
okay.
In that list of documents, it's got a disclaimer. Then it's got a list of them. It's got what is a contract business trust, shields and books, certificate units, contracts and agreements, and this is clean and clear certificates. And you click on and it takes you to the page that talks about it. And it's just four paragraphs. But it's the document that you need to ask for when you go to exchange. And you want this because you want to be able to prove to whomever you're going to do any business with that your clean and clear certificate is documenting that my deposited funds are not tied to any illegal activity. Proof of funds for a new home or vehicle purchase. You need to have that. And you're going to get 8 or 10 of those signed by your wealth managing team to take with you. And what you can do is I generally will not give them away, but I'll have enough. And I'll say, okay, here's a copy of the clean and clear. You may make a copy of it, and you can get it notarized that it's an original, copy of an original, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
So
if money is given away, with the help of an attorney, we can include that as part of the gift. So
right.
that money... Okay.
Yeah, it's clean and clear.
Okay.
So,
well, got it. Thank you for explaining that. I really appreciate that. I understand now.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Well, no new questions. We must be doing a really good job today.
Yeah. There was looking for something that just reminded me of something. Yeah, okay, I did do some more work on management trust info. I added a couple more paragraphs that recently, and it talks more about that, and it gives you an example of the resolutions, example how the contract will look. These aren't the finished contracts, but this give you an idea where you're going to go with this. So I set that up a couple days ago, and now it's on here. And I highly recommend people just glance at that. And Carol and I are working on making this simpler. It's not hard, but it's not easy right now. We're going to make it simpler, so we're working on that. So hopefully, Robert can come up with a program that the people can download, and then not a program now, but it'd be a program that will allow you to put your trust name in here, and then you can print, download, and then it comes to you as a PDF. It's completed with your own stuff in it. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. There's software that does that, but it's expensive, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of money if it's not going to be used very much. But we'll figure out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we do have another caller here. Okay. This one, I don't have a name, but it's area code 214.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
We can. Who is it?
Oh, hi, I'm Todd from Dallas, Texas. How are you, Carol? I was glad to hear your voices again on this Saturday morning. It's a tragic event, anniversary, I know that. But my question's real simple. We'd kicked around the quantum financial system in the past and the need to go towards cryptocurrency wallets. Jim, do y'all still see a time in the future where you'll be adding any cryptocurrency documents in case of an exchange to, you know, to and from our Iraqi dollars and going into some sort of crypto wallet, if you will? Do you see a need for any supplemental documents on our existing and future contract trusts, do you?
Well, again, it goes back to my favorite expression, we don't know what we don't know. Until I go through the system and find out what they're talking about, I don't have any way of coming up with anything. But I will say this, I imagine that we will have to have something on our site about that, dealing with how to use your crypto or your wallet or the trust. So it will be the same system that you use personally that you use for the trust. See, right now I've got the little electronic wallet, basically. I've got one. I bought one. It's a thumb drive. It's got a 0 to 9 digits on it. So I can assign it a path number, a long digit number, that nobody can know it but me, and I can have that's my wallet. And I can put it in any computer and making a payment by just hitting the numbers, the right numbers, and opening it up. So that's already
started. Yeah, I've helped people get those as well. I use the Ledger myself. I have a few of them.
Yeah, that's what I used. So that's what you're going to have. You're going to have one of those for each one of your trusts if you're going to be doing if we're going to go to a full digital system, and I think we will be going to a full digital system. I'm not thrilled about that. I'll live with it. But yeah,
I do see where some of the other banking systems down in Central America are reaching out towards making cryptocurrency a legalized venue of commerce. One in particular was the El Salvador, which is a real small country, but it looked like Panama and two other countries have filed to use cryptocurrency as legal tender now.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. That just shows us that the step, we are going the right direction. It does prove that there is something coming down the road or they wouldn't be doing it. So it's it's kind of evidence that, yes, this is on the cusp of happening, both the event and changing over to a digital currency that's not controlled by one central agency, and it'll be private. You will be your own banker. You will be your own, how do you want to put it? You'll be your own bank, basically. Because
you're responsible.
All your money be in that digital wallet every time. And there will be, your wealth managers will have access to it in certain ways to pay the bills for you. But you'll have 100% control. You'll have to, in my opinion, you're going to have to delegate some of that control to your wealth managers, but I don't think I'd give them 100% control of my motherlode trust.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So far, we don't have any documents to add to our business trusts in regards to the quantum financial services upgrade because there basically isn't anything at this time that has transpired. But do you see if Panama or one of the other countries makes it a legalized currency, would that kick off any need to update our business trust with documentation of any kind or a supplement like minutes or anything, Jim? Do you see anything on the horizon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I see that it'd be a simple thing. There'll be a minute that we'll have on the website, and you go grab that minute, and you put your own trust name in there and the particular minute number that you need, depending on your situation. And it'll be basically a minute saying that the Board of Trustees, you know, me, myself, and I, the Board of Trustees got together and decided we were going to moved towards the digital currency, and therefore the trust is now it has its own digital wallet and so on and so forth. And, of course, you don't want that information about that wallet in the trust. You want to talk about that that's what the trust did, but don't put it in the trust, you know, like the digital wallet numbers and all that stuff.
The digital wallets are the, you know, the key to unlocking the balance of the, you know, the balance of your accounts. So
I know. Got to keep that private. But, yes, there will be a minute saying that the bank account now that we're using for this trust is now at one of the digital modes. We'll have the proper verbiage set up for that and just download it. And then, of course, like I said, there will be no place in that for you to put the pass number, passcode that you use. That's going to be kept private. But you will just have a minute stating that, yes, now you are using digital currency through this trust. It'd be an option. It won't be 100% for a while. So you could actually have the minute saying that at this date and time, we've decided to go ahead and embrace the digital currency, and we have now a digital wallet available for the trust, and it's, you know, leave it at that and just sign it. They didn't sign it. It's really simple. It's going to be easier than you think.
So. Oh, I imagine. I always make things out to be too complex than what they really are, but I'm still hoping that we can make this exchange successfully here in the United States and not have to leave the, you know, leave the country in order to do an exchange. But if it came down to it and I had to go to Panama, I would exchange Iraqi dinar if I got a favorable exchange rate in another country for cryptocurrency if it were available. I just don't know that that hasn't been a thing to date. Like you said, we're still waiting on something to transpire.
Yeah. We don't have enough information. We have no facts. We don't have very much information, but virtually no facts. I mean, we hear about it, we read about it, but that's all somebody's opinion. Give me the dang documentation that explains how it works through the government so I know what I can write. I mean, that's what annoys me is we have nothing. It's like this.
Well, I have heard where the country of Iraq had taken over the computers that were mining the Bitcoin, not necessarily completely taking them over, but they were adding governmental, you know, like a governmental hand on top of those that were operating those computers that mine the Bitcoin. They were applying rules and regulation to the miners in Iraq to mine Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies, I guess, as well. But being that the Bitcoin is the number one on the list of cryptocurrencies, it would be interesting to see if ever the Iraqi dollar that you know, a lot of us hold could be exchanged for the Bitcoin. I just don't see it happening here in this country anytime soon. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're right. And I think that it boils down to what we have as far as I hate even using this word, as a leader, because right now we don't have a leader. And whatever they find it, get rid of what we've got and bring us to where we're supposed to be going, then I think it'll be easy to make the transition. And yes, I did read quite a bit about that in Iraq. And what it was, what they were saying was, because of some of the corruption that they have been from Iran, they decided to take it over and govern it, but not take it, just govern it and give you specific things. So they couldn't use the mining for paying off the Iranians and all of the bad guys. So that's all.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a thing of world dominance, that cryptocurrency. Of course, the China miners have shut down their operations and move them to other parts of the globe. But when you look at the cryptocurrency market as a whole, a lot of these are a little bit shady in one form or fashion, because they're not calling a domicile area of the globe as their home operating office. But, you know, that's just getting a little bit further off track, you know, off subject of the Bitcoin, because there are so many different cryptocurrencies that have come on the scene. But I appreciate your insights. I really do. If there comes another time, we can discuss adding a page to our minutes. I'll sure be open to hearing about that, Jim.
Yeah, we'll have a sample minutes going different directions for that. It's just, again, getting the facts. Once I have the facts, then we can design the minute that we need. But we don't have enough information.
Well, I'll be keeping my ear to the tracks for you guys. If I hear anything, I'll sure be on the call here, and I appreciate y'all's time.
Thanks,
all right,
Todd.
Well, I'm going to give out my phone number here shortly, too, Todd. So keep it handy. If you hear something, let me know, and I'll get right on it.
Oh, I've got your number on my Rolodex, Jim, in an electronic format. I appreciate you guys, Jim.
All right, thank you.
Okay, okay. One more caller, Jim, and then we're going to call it a day. So, Gary,
sure.
You have another question?
Yeah, one last question. When it comes time to buy a home, if we find something that we like but we don't want to buy it in our name, you know, in the past you said we can appoint somebody, for example, as president of the trust and have them buy the home in his name, basically, to keep our name out of it. Is there any documentation for that to set up a contract between us and the person that's going to buy the house? And then how do we remove him as president when this is done?
We have
we've got it all there, but to make a little fun snide comment, to get rid of the president after you don't want him, you use what Trump used. You're fired.
Okay.
Now, you would hire the president. It's allowed in the trust. It talks about it in your trust documents.
Right.
It talks about hiring the president. And so you would hire the president, assign the task. First thing you do, though, is when you get the property, you find the property, you want to do an earnest money so you can tie up the property. And you want to use a name, maybe the president's name, and or a sign. And the last second, you know, last moment before it's titled over, the title company will change that to your trust name because that's what their job is. And then you'll issue the title will be in the trust, and then the president will be there to sign as a president of the trust. And then once he's done his job, then he delegates that back to you, and then his job is done until later, until you need him next time. So it's a really simple process.
Is that written in the website someplace? I can't find it.
No, it's not. It's
we have
the reason I didn't put it. Yeah, there's minutes of it that have it. I mean, under the management trust, it talks about it. The reason I didn't put a lot of that stuff in there is because it was too much legalese. People got really, really confused on how to use it. But we need to come up with some way of conveying that. But it's just a simple process. I'll work on something and get a set of instructions on how to. Carol and I'll work on that together. We'll get a set of instructions that we can put on the website.
That would be great. Thank you, Jim.
All right.
Carol.
Okay. You're welcome. Well, that's about it for today. It is 2:08 in Florida. So I would like to thank you all for joining us. Jim, you want to give your contact information?
Sure, let me pull it up so I got it right. Okay, you can get a hold of me. First off, I'm in Oregon still, so I'm in a different time zone than most of you. And you can get a hold of me at my 800 number, 866-341-6907, or my standard number, 503-583-6791. You can get a hold of me through email by security at indicatorinformation.com. And my hours are generally 9 to 6, Monday through Friday. I don't like working weekends. But here, right now, folks, for the next week or so, I'm not going to be back available because I'm in the middle of this project rebuilding this pickup so I can get out of here. I need to get out of Oregon. So that's mine. Carol?
Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us. My name is Carol Worlius. My number is 333-5018. Or my cell phone is 206-915-4236. My 425 number still works, but people have been trying to send text to the number, and it doesn't work. So the easiest way is 206-915-4236. 4236. I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And also the best way to reach me is by email, info@indicatorinformation.com. So I was happy.
Repeat your 800 number because it broke up.
Okay. My 800 number is 877-333-5018. Okay? So have a safe and happy weekend, everybody, and go RV. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.